The text for tonight's sermon is the Gospel reading from Matthew chapter 17, which I read before. And I call it, "That's My Lord," meditation on the Transfiguration. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing Jesus to Peter, James, and John. Thank you for revealing Jesus to us and giving us the gift of the life-giving touch of Jesus. Help us tonight to hear his words and to listen to him. For his name's sake, I pray. Amen. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, well, welcome to the start of an academic year. Exciting times. I don't know how many people here are actually beginning a course of study at the moment. For those who are doing so, please put up their hands. Yes, there's a few. That's pretty good. Okay. For some of us, this time means a time to move away from home, to get some longed-for independence, to be able to make our own decisions and say, well, you know, I'm an adult now. My mom and dad can't tell me what to do. They can't tell me whether to go to church or whether to do my uni work or finish my assignment sometime. This is all good. In fact, I'm sure that for those of you who have been in university, if you can remember those heady days when you were just beginning, I'm sure the last thing that you would have wanted was for your mum or dad to be ringing you every single day, going, "How's it going? Just wanted to check out how you're doing. Thanks, mum. I'm fine. Go away now." But despite our newfound independence, we also would not want our parents to abandon us. In fact, we want to know, and I still want to know, as a man with young daughters, that my parents are there for me, and that they are supporting me, and that they haven't abandoned me, especially in the difficult times. In fact, through all of my university career, and my seminary days, through all my many academic achievements, and yes, they were me and my papa. Don't ask me about them later. The thing that sticks out to me the most, the thing that I treasure the most, is the time when my dad sent me a card. A card that said, "Well done," on something. It said, "I'm proud of you. You are my son. This is great." It wasn't even an academic achievement, but it shows how much I need, and I think we all need, the approval of our parents. And for me, that card was more important than all of my academic results and my records and all those sort of things, because it was linked in with my identity as a child of my father. It was linked in with my dad's approval for me, whether or not I was doing well at anything else. I have found approval in his eyes. Thanks, Joe. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus and Peter, James, and John hear the voice of the Father. Now, this is coming at a crucial time in Jesus' ministry. It's a turning point. In the Gospel of Matthew, we have Jesus teaching his disciples that the Son of Man must suffer and die. He must be crucified and rise again. This is the first time that Jesus has told his disciples that his life is heading for the cross. And so there's a turning point in Jesus' ministry. He's no longer just an itinerant healer and preacher. He's heading to Jerusalem. He's going to die. It's going to be difficult times ahead. And this, I believe, is why Jesus the Son needs to hear the voice of the Father. God speaks from the cloud on the Mountain of Transfiguration. God is speaking here. He could reveal the secrets of the universe. He could give insight into the most amazing, profound mysteries. But what does he say? A bright cloud enveloped the mountain. a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." This is my Son. This is God speaking. And the most important words he can say are, "This is my Son." And more than anything, as I was meditating on these words, they reminded me of a clip from a movie called Kung Fu Panda, where the panda, I've never seen that movie by the way, yeah, it's pretty good, isn't it? Where the panda has just found his identity as a great dragon warrior and has slain, well, defeated at least, the evil character Tai Lung. And this is what happens next.
Yeah.
flat out, face down, cannot move because they're in the presence of the Holy God and they're scared that they're going to die. But what does the Father say? He says, listen to him. And what are Jesus' first words? Thanks, Joe. Listen to him. And Jesus' first words to the disciples after this great revelation are these. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And Jesus comes to the disciples and he touches them. And the NIV says, he says to them, get up. But actually, in the Greek, the word is be raised. It's exactly the same word that Jesus uses when he says, don't tell anyone about these things until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. In other words, Jesus comes to them and he raises them up from fear, from death, from their sin. And he says, do not be afraid. And it's not just for Peter, James, and John that Jesus comes to do that. And he comes to touch people, to raise them from the death of sin and fear. Jesus also does that for us. And so the words that Peter, James, and John heard, the words that Jesus heard on the Mount of Transfiguration, are also words for us. Because when Jesus touches us, thanks, Joe, he gives to us identity. Identity that does not depend on what we do. What is that identity? Identity is given to us in the waters of baptism. At the end of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says the great words from the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. In the waters of baptism, Jesus gives to his people the identity as the children of God, people who are beloved by the Father. And so the Heavenly Father also says of us, because we become brothers of Jesus and daughters and sons of the King, he says, this is my daughter Emma, whom I love. With her I am well pleased. This is my son Jacob, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Identity comes before activity. We read about that also in John chapter 1, where before we do anything for God, he does this amazing thing of giving the gift of our identity to us. John 1 verse 12 says, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, not of human decision, not of a husband's will, but born of God. Sons and daughters of the living God. That's the identity that Jesus gives to us. What else does Jesus do for us? He gives us approval. No matter what we may do, or how badly we may stuff up, or how well we may do, Jesus says, you are forgiven. You are right with God, and God the Father is pleased with you. Thanks, Joe. That approval comes with the touch of Jesus. We experience that most palpably in Holy Communion, where Jesus gives us his own body and blood and says to us, this is given for you. This is shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. We also read about that approval of God in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. You are pleasing to God. I don't know how often you stop to think about that. Probably not very often. But God is pleased before and apart from anything that you do for me. Thanks, Joe. And so our activity as people of God comes first out of our identity. Then it comes out of our approval that God is pleased with us, no matter what we do. What's this look like at university, at our job, or the place where God has called us to? Well, the world flips it and gets it upside down and back to front, doesn't it? You are living in a world which tells you that what you do determines what you're worth, therefore your approval, and that determines who you really are. Your activity in this world is prior to your approval, which is prior to your identity. How will we live? How will we remember who we are in a world which wants to flip the equation upside down and back to front? It's very simple. We will listen to the voice of the Father. We will remember the identity that He gives to us as Jesus' brothers and sisters. This is my son. This is my daughter, whom I love. With them I am well pleased. This is very challenging for me because I like to sometimes flip the equation and think that maybe if I do the right things for God, then He'll be pleased with me and then I'll be able to approach Him as His son. But above all, we'll listen to the voice of the Father, which says, listen to Him. Listen to the beloved Son, who tells you that your sins are forgiven, who says, do not be afraid, who comes to touch you and to raise you from death and to give you your identity as sons and daughters. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, the keep your hearts and your minds.